Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, one man in a car. My name is Jess Romero. Well, welcome to the show. Hey, today I want to talk about the power. This is going to be something very, very helpful for everybody listening, because I want to talk about the power of prayer and what actually prayer does to angels and what prayer does to demons. Before I mention that, I just want to say that yesterday I was very honored. I gave the opening invocation, the opening prayer at President Trump's rally, which was over in Tucson, Arizona, at the Tucson, Arizona airport. I was asked by the Trump campaign team to give the opening invocation to start the entire rally. So I was honored. The fact is, if anybody thinks that President Trump is not Catholic friendly, well, guess what? His team asked yours truly, Jesse Romero, a Catholic Christian, a vocal Catholic Christian. I was asked by the Washington Trump team to do the opening prayer. And then we have, out of three U.S. Supreme Court justices, what do we have? We have two of them that Trump has appointed that are Catholic. So I'm just putting out his Catholic credentials there. If anybody thinks that he's not friendly to the Catholic Church, let me tell you something. He's the most Catholic-friendly president we've had in the White House in my lifetime. So, all right, let's talk about something that affects all of us. And what affects all of us is our faith and our prayer life. But specifically, what does prayer do to angels, and what does it do to the diabolical? You know, there's an old saying that's used by exorcists. It goes like this: angels come wherever they are called, demons come wherever they are not resisted. As Catholics, the power in our prayer comes from the fact that we are in Christ. Think, just listen to these words. Because you're in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, that's why your prayer has any power. In fact, the Bible says that in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, we're called to put on Christ. Think about like putting on a suit or some clothes. Put on Christ. That's what the Bible says. Put on Christ. This is a language of being an heir. An heir to the kingdom of God, a son or a daughter. This is the language. When you hear the word put on Christ, this is the language of inheritance. This is the language of reception. Catholic theology says that we are sons in the Son. Watch that. We are sons in the Son of God. That's what concretizes our divine sonship, our justification. We take on the rights and privileges of Christ because we share in Christ. Hebrews 3:14. We share in Christ. We share in Christ. This is where we derive our power in prayer, because we are sons in the Son. So when we walk in the obedience of faith, as the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1, verse 5, and Romans 16, 26, we walk in the obedience of faith, we live in friendship with God, James 2:23, living in friendship with God, then know that the prayers of a righteous man have much power in its effects, James 5:16. The prayers of a righteous man have much power in its effects. James 5:16. That means you're living in a state of grace. You're in a right relationship with God. You're walking in obedience. Now, when we pray liturgically, we emulate what's constantly going on in heaven. Liturgical worship. Therefore, the liturgical prayers of the Catholic Church carry the weight of the entire church militant, church suffering, and church triumphant to bear upon the person being blessed or prayed for. We go back to the theology. Father Chad Ripperger teaches that angels come wherever they are called, demons come wherever they are not resisted. Close quote. Demons are attracted to faithlessness, disorder, and what's unclean. And I've also done other shows before on other programs that just as we have guardian angels assigned to us, Father Chad Ripperger says that Satan may likewise assign a demon, often to an entire family. And lesser demons are sent to tempt and open up the doors to higher demonic realms. So let's go through the things that God likes and Satan dislikes. God loves faith. Satan loves faithlessness. The Bible tells us about how much God loves faith in Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For anyone who approaches God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Notice, without faith, it's impossible to please God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, the Bible says, "Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith." Resist him firm in your faith. There it is. Faith is a component here to drive back the devil and to please God. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, the Bible says, "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, and all liars, their lot shall be in the lake that burns with fire." That's hell, which is the second death. So God does not like faithlessness, the Bible says, in Revelation 21, 8. It is by faith that we're able to resist the devil, 1 Peter 5, 9. And faith pleases God, Hebrews 11, 6. Let's move now to clean versus unclean. This is very important in spiritual warfare. God loves what's clean. The devil loves what's unclean. Matthew 5, 8. "Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God." That means you're in a state of grace. If you're in a state of grace, you will see God one day in heaven. Psalm 51, verse 12. "A clean heart create for me, God. Renew within me a steadfast spirit." That's the prayer of David after he repented from adultery and murder. He asked God for what? A clean heart. In other words, a pure heart. In other words, restore me, God, back into a state of grace. 1 Thessalonians 4:7, the Bible says, "For God has not called us for uncleanness, but in holiness." Close quote. So in other words, God doesn't want us to be unclean. God wants us to be what? The opposite of unclean. He wants us to be holy. And this goes all the way back even to the Old Testament. This is not just New Testament Christianity. In Leviticus chapter 10, verse 8 and 10, that's the holiness book for the Jews. Leviticus 10, verse 8 and 10, the Bible says, "The Lord said to Aaron, you must be able to distinguish between what is sacred and what is profane, and between what is clean and what is unclean." Close quote. The only way you can distinguish between what's clean and unclean is if you live in a state of grace. If you don't live in a state of grace, you start thinking that pornography is, there's nothing wrong with it. You start thinking that the occult, there's nothing wrong with it. You start thinking that drug addiction, there's nothing wrong with it. Marijuana, alcohol, there's nothing wrong with it. You start thinking that, being involved in alternative lifestyles, there's nothing wrong with it. That's what happens when you're not in a state of grace. You can't discern what's clean, what's pure and holy, from what's unclean and impure and not holy. Do you realize that in the Bible, demons that possess people in Scripture are called unclean spirits 21 times. 21 times in the Greek New Testament. It's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. Like attracts like. Unclean spirits are attracted to unclean people. It's pretty simple. Let's move on now and talk about order versus disorder. God loves order. The devil loves disorder. It's simple. I'm going to say it again. God loves order. The devil loves disorder. 1 Corinthians 14:33, the Bible says, "Since he," reference to God, "is not the God of disorder, but of peace." Notice, God is not the God of disorder, but the God of peace. James chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, "For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every foul practice." Ah, James 3:16. With disorder, there's every foul practice. See, disorder attracts the diabolical. 2 Corinthians 12:20, the Bible says, "For I fear that when I came, I may find you not as I wish, and that you may find me not as you wish, that there may be rivalry, jealousy, fury, selfishness, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder." So St. Paul is chiding the Corinthians about the sins found in their community. One of those sins, he talks about the sin of disorder. The devil loves disorder. God loves order. 1 Corinthians 14:40, the Bible says, "But everything must be done properly and in order." Again, God loves order. The devil loves disorder. Titus chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, "For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and shouldest ordain priests in every city, as I also appointed thee." Paul to Timothy, Paul made him a bishop, and Paul is telling him that in the city of Crete, he's saying, you should set things in order. We're talking about the theology of prayer. We're going to get to some really good stuff right now, but I'm just giving you some of the preliminary steps. God loves order. God loves what's clean, and God loves also faithfulness. Jesus 911. We'll be right back.
Sirach 11:24 says, "Do not say, I am self-sufficient. What harm can come to me now?" According to St. Catherine of Siena, presumption is like vermin burrowing at the root of the tree of our soul. If we do not uproot it with great care and humility, it will eventually destroy the soul. May God keep us from all presumption of mind and heart, and realize that we depend on Him for everything.
At the beginning of the fourth segment,
baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, one-man car. My name is Jesse Romero. And I want to just share with you about the theology of prayer. I think you're going to find it fascinating, some of the stuff that I'm going to get into. Again, God is into order. The devil is into disorder. Okay? Look what the Bible says right here in Colossians chapter 2, verse 5. Oh, I hear some feedback in the back, Richard. I hear something coming through the mic. Okay. Colossians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "For even if I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing as I observe your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ." Notice once again, what is Paul talking about here? He's talking about good order. God likes what? Good order. The devil likes disorder. This is all over the Bible. Remember this, God is a God of order. Just look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. You see that out of chaos, God brings perfect order and harmony. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible says, "The earth was without form and void." And if you look at the original Hebrew, it's tohu wabohu. Those two words, which describe the primordial earth's twofold condition. The primordial earth was formlessness and emptiness. And God transforms earth from chaos to cosmos according to his power and plan. God brings order out of nothing. You know, Catholicism is the law of life, the life of intelligence, and the solution of all problems. Catholicism is the truth, and everything that departs from it, even one iota, is disorder, deception, and error. All right, now. So who's in the air? The Bible calls the air the cosmos. The Greek word is the cosmos. You'll find that all over the Bible. Every time you see the word the world that word, the English word in your Bibles, the world, is the Greek word cosmos, okay? Which could also be translated the universe. There's also another word in the Bible that's used about the air. It's called aeros, A-E-R-O-S, which means of the air or in heavenly places. Now, where are demons? Where are demons? Demons are in the air. Follow what I'm saying here. This is important so you can understand the power of prayer. Where are demons? Demons are in the air. Who says that? The Bible says that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 3. It says, "You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world," that's the cosmos, "following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." So notice St. Paul says that the prince of the air, the devil, is where? It says he's in the aeros, he's in the air, he's in heavenly places. And he's now working the sons of disobedience. Who are the sons of disobedience? I'll give you two. The Democrat Party, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, Communists. Well, I'll give you four. Let me show you where else the Bible talks about demons being in the air. Ephesians 3, 9, and 10. The Bible says, "And to make all men see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, that the church, the manifold wisdom of God, might now be made known to the principalities," those are demons, "and powers," those are demons, "in the heavenly places." So St. Paul says demons are where? In the cosmos, in the air, in the heavenly places. He just said that in Ephesians 3. Now Ephesians 6, verse 10 and 12. Same thing. Demons are in the air. It says here, "For we are not contending against flesh and blood." In other words, our beef isn't with human beings. It says, "but against the principalities," that's a type of demon, "against the powers," that's a type of demon, "against the world rulers," those are demons, "of this present darkness, against the spiritual host," those are demons, "of wickedness in the heavenly places." Ah, demons are in the world and in the air. That's what the Bible says. The demons are in this world and in the air in this world. That's what the Bible says. You're going to see how I'm going to connect this to prayer. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1 and 3. Here's another one. Verse 2, it says, "He opened," the angel opened the shaft of the bottomless pit, "and from the shaft rose smoke like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened with the smoke from the shaft. Then from the smoke, locusts," those are type of demons, "on the earth. They were given power like the power of scorpions," those are type of demons, "of the earth." So here in Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 to 3, Catholic biblical tradition identifies locusts and scorpions as demons. And what does the Bible say? That when the shaft is open and they rise in the air like smoke, and what do? They darken the sky. Demons rise up into the air like smoke from the shaft, from the abyss, and what do? They darken the sky. So now I've set the stage so you can know the power of prayer. Where are demons? Okay, let me just remind you. Okay, they're in the world. The Greek word is this cosmos, all over the Bible. They're in the cosmos, in our world, and in the iros, in the air. All right, so now where does prayer come in? Okay, these demons are in the air in our world. Well, did you know that our prayer, it rises to the air? Our prayer that comes from our soul and out of our mouth rises to the air. It's an offensive weapon against demons who are in the air in this world. Look at what the Bible says about your prayer, my prayer. Psalm 141, verse 2. It says, let my prayer be incense before you, my uplifted hands an evening offering, close quote. So notice, our prayer that comes out of your soul and out of your mouth or out of your mind, it rises into the air like incense. That's what the Bible says. Okay. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15. Let's also see what prayer does to the air, okay? Because that's where demons are at. They're in the air. They're polluting the air, and we want to fill the air with what? With the incense of prayer. We want to fill the air with the sweet aroma of Christ. Look what St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15. The Bible says, quote, "But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the odor of the knowledge of Him in every place. For we are the aroma of Christ for God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." The word of the Lord, thanks be to God. So notice, St. Paul rejoices that the gospel is being disseminated like the fragrance of incense throughout the world as a result of his ministry. In other words, his preaching of the gospel and his prayers emits the sweet aroma of eternal life to believers on the way to salvation, and his preaching and his prayers are the stench of death to those who are headed for spiritual ruins. The term you find that St. Paul uses, the term fragrance and aroma, are drawn from Old Testament passages that describe the pleasing odor of sacrifices offered to the Lord in Genesis 8:21, Exodus 29, verse 18, Leviticus 1:9. So think about this. If God's word is like the stench of death to those who are going to hell, then God's word must stink to the nostrils of a demon. Let's look at Revelation chapter 8, verse 4. I'm looking at the offensive nature of prayer and what it does to demons who are in our world and in the air. Revelation chapter 8, verse 4. Trust me, this show, you're going to want to copy this show and send it to thousands of people, because I'm telling you, most Catholics have never heard this before in 2,000 years. This is deep intel. This is deep Catholic intel on prayer. If you listen to everything I'm going to say for the next two segments, it will change your prayer life. You will never look at prayer the same again. Prayer is an offensive weapon. It rises in the air. It's an offensive weapon against the diabolical. Revelation chapter 8, verse 4. The Bible says, "The smoke of the incense, along with the prayers of the holy ones, went up before God from the hand of the angel." Close quote. So notice, our prayers go up to God how? Through the ministry of angels. Our prayers go up to God like incense. By who? The angels. This is why Father Rippergrove says, he says, angels go where they are called. What does that mean? As soon as you pray, the angels are on duty. They're activated. They come to take your prayers to God. They're just waiting for you to pray. They're saying, "Jesse, can you please start praying? Can you please start praying? I want to go 10-8 for Jesus. I want to go on duty. I want to go in service for Jesus. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to take your prayers to God. Jesse, can you please pray? Can you please pray?" This is what they're waiting for. This is one of their job assignments. It's in the Bible. I'm not making this up. Revelation 8:4. The angel takes your prayer to God. That's why Father Ripperger says angels go where they are called. What does he mean by that? It means when you start praying, you activate them. Look at Tobit 12:12. Let me prove my point here. Tobit 12:12 and verse 15 as well. It says, quote, this is the archangel Raphael speaking. He says, now when you, Tobit, and Sarah prayed, it was I, Raphael, who presented the record of your prayer before the glory of the Lord. I am Raphael, one of the seven angels who stand and serve before the glory of the Lord. It's right there. See, Raphael says, I'm the one that takes your prayer to God. This is what it means. Angels go where they are called. As soon as you start praying, angels are activated. And the ministry of an angel is a messenger. They're called to take your prayers to God, and God's grace is to you. This is how it works. Acts chapter 10. This is revolutionary stuff right here. This will change your prayer life. And where did I learn this from? I learned this from Father Ripperger and being part of Liber Christum. That, you know, the professors, Kyle Clement, Dr. Dan Schneider. I mean, these three are the best professors on healing, liberation, and exorcism in the world. And they've purified my understanding of the power of prayer. Look what it says in Acts chapter 10, verses 1 to 4. It says this. It talks here about the vision of Cornelius. Now in Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of the cohort called the Italica, devout and God-fearing along with his whole household, who used to give alms generously to the Jewish people and pray to God constantly. One afternoon about 3 o'clock, he saw plainly in a vision an angel of God come into him and say to him, Cornelius? He looked intently at him and seized with fear, said, what is it, sir? He said to him, your prayers and almsgivings have ascended as a memorial offering before God, close quote. So notice, we see right here, Cornelius, who's a pagan, but he's seeking the one true God, his prayers, the angel tells him, they go up to heaven like a memorial offering. You're listening to Jesus 911. I'm talking about the deep theology of prayer. This will change your life. Don't change that dial. We'll be right back.
Logan, what has Virgin Most Powerful Radio done for you?
Well, Virgin Most Powerful Radio, I got to say, I've been a listener for about a year now, and it's really helped me grow closer to my faith and the fact that I'm listening and I'm getting unsugar-coated, clear, charity with clarity, Catholicism. And it's really helped me even, you know, grow so much deeper in my faith as a young man and discern the priesthood and have a love for Jesus Christ. And this is so seen on the Terry and Jesse show on Virgin Most Powerful, the unsugar-coated, clear truth of our Catholic faith that is so lacking today. It's almost like the Terry and Jesse show. It's the orange juice Catholicism, and it's filling things up. I just need to give them a shout-out, my praise. I'm just so appreciative. It's just really helped me, and I know, people want to hear this. It inspires me to want to speak it, and it inspires me to even go as far as discerning the priesthood to think, I should speak this. We need to stand up for our beautiful faith. This is the unsugar-coated beauty, and this is just what I've seen on the Terry and Jesse show. I encourage so many listeners to start donating and support this cause. It has just truly impacted my life, and all I just want to give is some praise to it.
If you shop on Amazon.com, there's an easy way to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Just visit smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center under the desired charity. Now, when you log into your Amazon account and purchase products, a portion of it will automatically go to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio at no cost to you. Thanks in advance for supporting CRC and VMPR. And may God richly bless you and your family.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911. My name's Jesse Romero, One Man Car. We're talking about, I'm just sharing about the power of prayer, the absolute power of prayer. And let me just share, I did the opening prayer yesterday in Tucson, Arizona, at the Tucson, Arizona airport for President Trump. I was asked by the Trump team to do the invocation, the opening prayer for the rally yesterday. There was way over 5,000 people, and there's only 5,000 seats, and thousands of people were shut out from coming in. But I want you to hear the prayer. It's about a minute and a half long. Mr. Engineer, can you play the clip?
I'm actually Catholics for Trump. I'm actually Latinos for Trump. And I'm actually cops for Trump. I'm a retired Los Angeles deputy sheriff. I want to pray. You know, the Holy Bible tells us that we should pray for our government and those people in leadership in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. And so let's pray for the most amazing president since Abraham Lincoln. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, you gave us President Trump for such a time as this. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we call upon the Holy Spirit to fill the heart of President Trump with wisdom and understanding and the fire of your love. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, and fill the heart of President Trump with heavenly grace. Enlighten him, guide him, strengthen him, console him, sanctify him. Place a protective hedge around him and the First Lady. Oh, God, send forth your Holy Spirit to President Trump so that he can renew the face of America. And we ask for God's wisdom to guide our dear president, God's word to speak to him, God's hand to guide him and guard him, God's shield to protect him. Oh God, shine your face upon him and bless him abundantly and cover him under the shadow of your wings. Lord, we pray for the health and welfare of President Trump. Lord, be his strength. Wash him with the precious blood of your son, Jesus. Oh, good Jesus, hear President Trump as he calls to you from the depths of his heart, and give him the wisdom to govern your people and govern your nation. Oh God, protect President Trump from the evil one and send forth your protective angels to stand guard over him and the First Lady and destroy all curses from his enemies and protect him as he stays awake and watch over him as he sleeps. Lord God, supply all his needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen.
What an honor to be asked to open for the President Trump's rally here in Tucson, Arizona. I was also on the Trump bus for 3 days. All over the state of Arizona, I traveled to about 25 cities, and I was giving lectures in 25 different places. I was there with congressmen. I was there with the senator. I was there with the governor. I was there with Callie Ward, who's the Arizona RNC chairperson. I was there in a bus, in a Trump bus, with all his surrogates, all his advisors from Washington. And I'm there as a Catholic with the St. Benedict's medal around my neck. And a miraculous medal around my neck. I wore my Catholicism in my sleeves. I was in a Trump bus, and they were asking me all kinds of questions about the Catholic faith, because, again, I just wore my Catholic faith on my sleeve. I would open up with prayer in the morning, grace before meals, and I just was able to just share my faith and evangelize politicians that I would have never met. And I just thank God for that opportunity. Hey, let's talk. I'm going to continue talking about the theology of prayer. Somebody asked me a question here on the chat. They're saying, Jesse, what about silent prayer? Hey, let me just mention to you. Prayer comes from our soul, and it's projected to the cosmos out of our mouth. That's vocal prayer. Or it's projected through your mind into the cosmos. That's meditative or contemplative prayer. So prayer that's projected into the air, it's like a military airstrike against the demons who are in the air. So it comes out of your mouth or it comes out of your mind. And both are projected into the air and carried by angels into heaven. That's the theology of prayer. Prayer, when it comes out of your soul, from out of your mouth or your mind, it ascends upward to the cosmos. And your prayers are a strategic airstrike that injures demons. The saints tell us that, you know, the desert fathers. It injures demons and it assists the angels. And this is why, by the way, Catholic monasteries are fortresses of prayer power, because you have men and women that live clean lives and ordered lives, and they have a consistent prayer life, 6 a.m., 12 noon, 6 p.m., especially men. This is why monasteries are powerful fortresses of prayer, because what men need is order, number one. They need fraternity, number two. And they need ritual, number three, to combat the diabolical. Even a layperson, if you're having a problem with sins, mortal sins, sexual sins, what does a man need to defeat the diabolical, especially in the area of mastering your sexual disorders? You need order in your life. You need fraternity, that's brotherhood, and you need ritual, this constant prayer life. If you're in a state of grace, if you're in a right relationship with God, your prayers are accepted by God, and your prayers ascend like incense to heaven, just like the prayers of the righteous Abel in the Old Testament. But if you're living in a state of mortal sin, and your relationship with God is severed, your prayers are like Cain's. Your prayers are not accepted by God. They go down to the earth. Like Cain's prayers were not accepted by God in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 to 16. In fact, this is the image depicted. You'll look in Catholic medieval art and by many biblical exegetes. You'll see that in the New Testament, Abel's prayers rise up to heaven and Cain's prayers, the smoke goes down into the ground. And in fact, Cain is cited in the Holy Bible in Jude chapter 1, verse 1. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, he's cited as an example of an unrighteous person. Now, if you're not in a state of grace, your prayers are not effective. It says that in John chapter 9, verse 31. It's in the Bible. Your prayers are not effective if you've got to repent first. You've got to go to confession if you're in mortal sin and get right with God. Your prayers are not effective if you're in a state of mortal sin. John 9:31. Here's what the Bible says, quote, "We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him," close quote. So what is the will of God? This is the will of God. God wants you to be saved. That's his will. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. And secondly, God wants you to be holy, and he wants you to flee sexual immorality. God wants you to be holy, that's point number two, and he wants you to flee sexual immorality, point number three. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. So what's the will of God? For you to be saved, for you to be holy, and for you to shun sexual immorality, because that's what the devil uses. The devil tries to use your body as a weapon against God, to sin against God. He uses your body. Now, another condition for God to hear and respond to your prayer is if you repent and turn away from your sin, then God will hear your prayer. Look what it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, "If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." Close quote. This is the way God forgives our sin. We must humble ourselves, turn from our wicked ways. This is a cult repentance. And then God will hear our prayers. We need personal repentance and national repentance. St. Catherine of Siena, she said, she said the following. She said, quote, she's a doctor of the church. She says, go to confession often and seek the company of people who will help you possess God in grace. I'll say no more. Bathe your memory in his overflowing blood. Close quote. St. Catherine of Siena. Let me mention this again. Go to confession often and seek the company of people who will help you possess God in grace. In other words, hang around with God-loving people. That way you're going to always move towards the grace of God and possess it. St. Catherine says, possess the grace of God. The devil wants to possess us. But she says, we're called to possess the grace of God. How? She says, bathe your memory in his overflowing blood. Pray the divine mercy. Pray the Holy Rosary. These are prayers where we meditate on the life of Jesus and on the blood of Jesus and what he did for us. Prayer is firing the winning shot. Prayer is firing the winning shot. Now, somebody just asked here in the chat, Jesse, where is it that our prayers are rejected when we're in a state of sin? It's in John chapter 9, verse 31. John 9, 31. You must repent for God to listen to your prayers. You must repent and come back to God. This is a condition for God to listen to your prayers. Now, when you pray, we should be specific in prayer. We'll be specific. It's called the Matthew 7:7 principle. Be specific in prayer. Our Lord says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. So we're supposed to ask God and be specific. In John's gospel, our Lord Jesus Christ commands us to ask in prayer 9 times. 9 times. So supplication and petitionary prayer, it's God's idea. It's not just a result of our personal needs. The Lord wants us to ask him for certain things. And sacred scripture tells us what the Lord wishes us to pray for. Just remember that lady whose wife, whose daughter was demon possessed. She says, Lord, can you save my daughter from this demonic possession? She was very specific in prayer. The Bible tells us to be specific. Because in Catholic theology, when you pray, you get what you ask for. Prayer has an effect. It begets what you ask for. And demons respond to authority. The merit of your prayer, you got to be in a state of grace, purity of life, precision of your prayer, because prayer begets what it signifies. You're listening to Jesus 911. I'm going into some deep Catholic intel on the power of prayer and how it works. Don't change that dial. We'll be right back.
Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
Sirach 11:24 says,
buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
When you pray, think about this. For those of you that are familiar with guns, if you shoot a weapon from a dirty gun, sometimes the bullet will jam. That's the same with prayer. When I talk about the merit of your prayer, being in a state of grace, it's like firing prayer or like firing a bullet from a clean gun. Again, that's what the merit of your prayer means. If you're in mortal sin, it's like shooting a bullet from a dirty weapon. It's going to jam. You're going to jam the weapon. The bullet will not project from the barrel. But if your soul is dirty, your prayers are ineffective. Now, prayer is God's word. All Catholic prayer comes from the Bible, all directly or implicitly. And so prayer, God's word, is an offensive weapon against demons. If Catholic Christians, I'm telling you, get this show out and pass it out, because this will change people's prayer life and the entire church. If Catholic Christians really understood the full extent of the power we have available through prayer, you'd be speechless. Remember, in 2 Corinthians 10:4, the Bible says, "For though we live in the world, we're not carrying on a worldly war. For the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." What's St. Paul talking about? That our weapons that we have are not weapons of the world. What's he talking about? He's talking about prayer. That's what he's talking about. And our prayer destroys strongholds. Who are the one that attack us with strongholds? Demons. Our prayers break demonic strongholds. That's what St. Paul just said. Psalm 64, verse 8, talking about the offensive nature of prayer. Psalm 64, verse 8, the Bible says, "God shoots an arrow at them. In a moment, they are struck down." Wow. What? Notice that arrows are a reference to the word of God. In other words, God's word, prayer, is calling in the airstrikes against the enemy. And in the Old Testament, think about this. The Israelites would have archers on top of these high walls surrounding the city. So when they saw an enemy approaching the city to attack them, the archers would launch volleys of arrows at their enemy. And the arrows would fall upon the enemies like rain. This is what the Bible says, that God shoots an arrow at them and he strikes them down. What does he shoot at them? His word. His word. Psalm 199, 107. The Bible says, "I am very much afflicted, Lord. Give me life in accord with your word." Close quote. Notice, the devil wants to give us death, but God wants to give us what? Life. His word gives us life. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 4, the Bible says, "But he shall judge the poor with justice and decide fairly for the land's afflicted. He," this is God, "shall strike the ruthless with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips, he shall slay the wicked." Close quote. Notice, God's word projects forth like a weapon into the air and into the cosmos. And what does it do? Slays the wicked. Isaiah 45, verse 23, the Bible says, "By myself I have sworn, from my mouth has gone forth in righteousness a word that shall not return. To me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear." In other words, God is saying here that God's word projects forth into the air and into the cosmos. And it's going to it's not going to return without accomplishing what he says. Same thing, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. We're talking about the offensive nature of God's of prayer, of Catholic prayer against the diabolical. Isaiah 55, verse 11. "So shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but shall do what pleases me, achieving the end for which I sent it. Close quote. Notice, again, God's word projects forth into the air and cosmos, and it accomplishes what he says. That's the power of God's spoken word, which is Catholic prayer. Catholic prayer comes from God's word. Jeremiah 1:12. It says, then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to carry it out. Close quote. In other words, God's word projects forth and affects the spiritual realm. That's what Jeremiah 1:12 just said. Jeremiah 5:14. Therefore, thus says the Lord of the God of hosts, because you have said this, see, I make my words a fire in your mouth, and this people the wood that it shall devour. Close quote. Notice, God's word has an offensive nature. It's fire in our mouth. We're like lions breathing fire, as St. John Chrysostom says. And what does it do? It says it there. It harms the wicked. It harms the wicked. Jeremiah 23:29. It says, is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer which breaks the rock in pieces. Close quote. Notice, again, God's word has an offensive nature to it. It's this is what Dr. Dan Schneider calls smash mouth Catholicism. Yep, Jeremiah 23:29. Smash mouth Catholicism. It's a, you know, God's word is aggressive against evil. It smashes it like a hammer. To quote Dan Schneider, smash him out Catholicism. Ephesians 6:16, the Bible says, in all circumstances, hold faith as a shield to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Close quote. Notice, God's word is what? A sword. God's word is what? A sword. That's an offensive weapon. Back in the time of Christ, who are the most feared people with swords? The Romans, the Roman army, the legion. They had these short swords, and they would get into these formations called the testudo, the wedge. And they were just masters at killing their enemy with these short Roman swords. The Bible compares prayer to the Roman sword. It is it was a perfect killing instrument back at the time of Christ. So, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, the Bible says, and then the lawless one will be revealed, and the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by his appearing and his coming. Close quote. Again, God's word spoken from God's mouth has an offensive nature to it. It's even going to destroy the Antichrist. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The Bible says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Close quote. Notice, God's word is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing the soul and spirit. Huh. Demons are spirits. They are pierced by the word of God. Revelation 1:16. The Bible says, in his right hand he held seven stars. A sharp two-edged sword came out of his mouth, and his face shone like the sun at its brightest. Close quote. Again, God's word has an offensive nature to it. A two-edged sword coming, projecting out of our mouth, out of God's mouth. Revelation 2:16. The Bible says, therefore repent, otherwise I will come to you quickly and wage war against them with the sword of my mouth. In other words, once again, God's word has an offensive nature to it. It is a sword coming out of his mouth, or like a sword, by way of analogy. And this is, again, the short sword back in the days of Christ used by the Roman soldiers was the most deadly weapon. Revelation 19:14-16. It says, the armies of heaven followed him, mounted on white horses and wearing clean white linen. Out of his mouth, this is God's mouth, came a sharp sword to strike the nations. A sharp sword to strike the nations. Again, over and over again. The word of God, which is what Catholics pray. This is all Catholic prayer is based on the word of God. And the word of God is described as a sharp sword to strike the nations, strike down evildoers. Again, God's word has an offensive nature to it. I'm telling you, you're going to want to get the show and spread it to people that don't know the depth of Catholic prayer. You could do a whole Bible study on this show. Display the show and open up your Bible and get a bunch of people in the house and let them listen to this. They've never heard this before. Catholic prayer is an airstrike against the diabolical. In fact, and think about this, because remember, the diabolical attacks us as well. The diabolical attacks us as well. So it's, you got two armies, you know, the God's army and the devil's army, and they're projecting back at each other. We're firing off prayers, and they're like arrows in the sky, and they're firing off hexes and curses and maledictions and incantations and swearing and blasphemy. And so it's a war of words, and it's being fought in the cosmos, and angels are carrying our prayers to heaven like incense, and our prayers are driving demons, driving them back, torturing them, wounding them. But the other side, by their curses and hexes and maledictions, they also empower the diabolical. They empower them, they trigger them to act even more evil and to attack. And so this is a war of words. You don't believe me? This is in the Bible. It's in Matthew chapter 12. This is why our Lord Jesus Christ says that everybody at the end of time is going to be judged by what came out of your mouth, your words. Because as you wake up today and open up your mouth, you're either projecting goodness, beauty, and truth into the cosmos, or you're projecting evil, hexes, curses, maledictions, blasphemy. It's a war of words. This is why Dan Schneider says a Catholic in prayer, it doesn't feel good most of the time. It doesn't, but it's smash mouth Catholicism. It's, you don't believe me, that's what Jeremiah the prophet says. This is what prayer does. Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer which breaks the rock in pieces. This is smash mouth Catholicism. God's word has it has an offensive nature to it. I'm going to tell you, this may, I mean, women may not care for this type of teaching. I think they do. But if a guy hears what I'm saying, I'm going to tell you, you're going to turn your husband, your boys, into prayer warriors. They've never heard this before. This is all biblical teaching. This is Catholic teaching. If a man hears this podcast, I'm telling you right now, they're going to jump out of their shoes. Everywhere I teach this, guys jump out of their shoes. They say, I'm in. I'm all in. And that's what it takes, because too many guys think that praying is effeminate. If guys only knew the power of prayer, they would drop dead of fright. Remember this, there's an American slogan that goes like, you know, people say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. Well, guess what? That's precisely how you hurt demons. It's not with sticks and stones. They have no bodies. The only way you can hurt demons is with God's word projected from your mind or your mouth. Remember, prayer comes from your soul. It's projected to the cosmos out of your mouth, vocally or through your mind, meditative prayer, and it's like a military airstrike against the demons who are in the air. I'm done with this show. Share this with your friends. Trust me, this is one show you want to share with men. Open up your Bible and follow along. My name is Jesse Romero. Up next, Gary Matuta, the big guy, hands-on apologetics. And don't turn that dial. Stick around. We'll see you next time, same Christ channel. God bless you. Keep the faith, and viva Cristo Rey.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.